Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I wanted to have on Basketball Jones one last time while I'm on the overnights here, and I ran into him at the softball game that his father put together, charity softball game on Saturday. And Basketball Jones, of course, Sonny Carton, who is an expert with all things basketball. I want to have some fun. Figure we'd talk some Knicks a little bit. Before I get into that, though, Sonny, two things that bothered me about you from that game. Number one, I made a tremendous defensive play up the middle, not the one that FAN tweeted out. There was another one, believe it or not. I went up the middle, dove for a ball, rolled over, flipped it to second base. You were running from first to second, and you were out, but they called you safe. Admit that you were out, and they took away a highlight from me. That was a gem.
Listen, I have to say, I respect the effort because you did make the play from the ground, but my foot did get in there. I was safe. I thought the funniest part is when I went to go back and look at the footage, whoever was recording was so excited that they missed the play, because they have the beginning and the end of the play, but to see the moment on whether or not I was safe, they missed it.
Did you see me rolling around on the ground making the play? Because I haven't even seen that footage.
Yeah, no, I'll make sure I get it either tonight or tomorrow for you. I'll tag you in it, but you can see you go down, you can see me approaching second. But in some point in there, there's obstruction from the pitcher, and it's a mess. You can't really see it straight throughout. But I'm telling you, I was safe. And as we know, tie goes to the runner.
All right, and one more thing. Do you remember the play where it was a ground ball to third? You again were running from first to second, and I was going as a second baseman to cover second on the throw. And McMonagle, I think it was, airmailed one. But as I was going up to catch it, you come into second base and you start like you pulled like an A-Rod. You were yelling, going whatever the hell you did. That kind of distracted me a little bit, and I was torn to leave the bag and go get the ball, or try to stay on the bag and catch the ball because I knew I needed to do that to get you out. What were you yelling and trying to distract me like A-Rod for? What's wrong with you?
Listen, whenever the charity's on the line and the family name is getting beat down, we can't have that happen. So I just had to start playing the mental games and start fighting back, and it ended up working.
I was like, what the hell, man? Oh, God. That was fun, though. It was fun to hang out. Unfortunately, we're on different teams, but either way, it was still a great event. All right, let's get to it. How are you feeling about the Knicks here? I'm kind of torn. I mean, I'm excited, but I'm kind of torn. I'm a little disappointed Bradley Beal is already off the table here. How are you feeling about the Knicks where we sit right now looking ahead at free agency?
Well, the first thing I want to say is that, and I really strongly believe this about the Knicks and the direction they're heading, in that I think they've gotten to where they are currently today based on smart decisions in the past 3-4 years made by this new leadership group. And that's not trading their young talent and picks for other players. And I don't know why all of a sudden, because they've showed that the Knicks, that they can win a few playoff games in a series, that they finally decide it's time to trade for a star. You got to the playoffs last year by playing team ball, and you almost beat the team that went to the finals. So I don't think the answer is to trade away depth to get a star, unless you can get a guy perhaps like Bradley Beal that you mentioned. And outside of the 10 guys that I have in my mind, I don't think any of those guys are available today. And when I look back at the rest of the league, every single team that went all in this year with trades ended up losing out early or not going far in the playoffs, except for the Phoenix Suns. You had the Hawks getting DeJounte Murray in the offseason last year. You had the Cavaliers trading for Donovan Mitchell. the Timberwolves getting Gobert, and obviously the Suns with KD. All of those teams were eliminated. So I don't know if necessarily getting a guy through a trade makes sense for the Knicks today, when you can always wait till free agency, like they did with Brunson, like they did with Randle, and not have to give up a major amount of assets to go bring in a player that can help you win championships.
Do you think the idea, Sonny, we're talking about Sonny Carter and Basketball Jones, do you think the idea of needing, because there's this thought process in the NBA, well, you need three stars, you need three stars, you need three stars. Like, for years, it's been that way. Knicks get Randle, the Knicks get Brunson, they already have Randle. Is RJ that guy? No, they need one more superstar. But Miami didn't need a third superstar. I mean, Miami doesn't even have really a big two. I know Adebayo was playing out of his mind, but still, you look at Butler and Adebayo, it's not like they had superstars to get to the finals. Do you think the Knicks need another superstar to be a legitimate contender?
Personally, I do, and as much as I'm an optimist about R.J. Barrett and the Knicks, I believe I've watched them long enough to know that the pieces they have in-house right now are not enough. Now, that's not to say that one day Obi won't grow into a player, IQ won't go into a player, Grimes, etc., but I do not think that under that roof today they have what it takes to win a championship. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Paul George podcast that Randle had an appearance on this week, but I think a lot of what he said was very telling about how he's comfortable with himself, that he knows he plays best with other teammates that are all-star caliber. He knows he plays best. He mentioned his short time in New Orleans with Anthony Davis, how much better he felt once Brunson came to the Knicks. He recognizes that he is a guy who's going to work better not having to carry the load. And I think when he showed you that he can return to that form from the 2021 season, give you 25-10, and which, by the way, he didn't shoot well from three this year, so that still could be improved. He's going to play better with someone alongside of him. So I think that is always on the conversation if you can bring in that third star. And I think the Knicks definitely have the right to be in those conversations. I'm just not sure that it's the right time yet to make that decision when, like I said, we won a playoff series and lost to the eventual Eastern Conference representatives.
So would Zion, and I am familiar with what Randall said on that podcast. Not that I would listen to the podcast, but I heard the clip notes and all that stuff. And I fell in love with Randall again after listening to that and thinking to myself, you know what? Forget it. Because you waffle sometimes with Randall. You love him. You hate him. There's this love. He's the guy. He's not going to be the guy. I'm in on Julius Randall. I know what he is as a player. I'm all in on him because he wants to be here. So I think you make him a part of the solution here moving forward. But then does that mean that you trade R.J. Barrett? Are you looking to trade for Zion Williamson? Is that even possible? What, before we get to the free agents, which I really want to do, what about potentially trading for Zion? And who would it be if not trading Julius Randle?
I mean, listen, when Zion's on the court, it's hard to argue against what the player is when he actually plays. He's one of the best players I've ever seen coming out of college in terms of stepping on the floor and immediately having an impact at the NBA level. But when you look at a guy who played 61 games in his second season after 24 games in his first season, then missed the entire 2021 season with an injury, and then only plays 29 games last year, it's impossible for me to make that trade for Zion as we stand today. I love Zion as a player. I really do. Like I say, when he's on the court, it's great. But I don't understand how anyone in their right mind could trade for Zion with that injury history. To me, it's not a situation like Embiid or a Ben Simmons or a Blake Griffin, if you remember back then, where they missed the first season and they come right back. This is now going to be his fifth season, and he's never even played enough games that to meet the now 65-game qualifier that would earn him All-NBA status. So I don't see how they can make that trade. And if they did, as you said, it would have to involve one of Julius Randle and or R.J. Barrett, with the way that this new apron is looking, it's going to play out.
Yeah, I would not do it either. I'm with you. And I know the appeal of Zion, star power, even though I don't love R.J. Barrett as a player, even though I don't love Julius Randle. And again, after the podcast comments, I do want to go all in on him and believe he could be the guy. But you know, there are obviously inconsistencies to his game sometimes that could drive you nuts. I would not trade either of those two guys for Zion, so I'm with you there. All right, so then the question becomes, Sonny, we're talking with Sonny Carter, Basketball Jones here. The question becomes, how can this team improve? What are we looking at, list of free agents that are realistic for the Knicks to be able to add?
Well, I think the first thing worth mentioning is what they're going to end up doing with the Evan Fournier and Derrick Rose players that they didn't really utilize, as you know, down the stretch of the regular season and especially into the playoffs. But assuming that both of those are not on the roster going forward, they should have a little bit of breathing room under the luxury tax, meaning that they could use the non-taxpayer exception, which they get $12 million if they do fall under that first tax level. So I could see them looking for a few players that could fit that. I mean, obviously, Josh Hart is coming back. He has a player option, which he's most likely going to opt out of. But that's a different scenario because they have his bird rights, which essentially just means that they can keep him and offer him any deal that doesn't go against the cap. So that's going to be interesting if they're going to bring Hart back, which I assume they will because it seemed like Thibodeau really liked him going forward. But I think, like I said, it's all going to depend on how they use that Derrick Rose contract, because if they pick up the team option, then that contract can then become an expiring because it's a one-year deal, and it could be used as filler in a trade. So if they're looking to trade out Fournier and Rose, that could be a potential angle to improve the roster by just getting one roster spot. Or you could go out and try to get a guy like Seth Curry, who could be looking to have a 1 or 2 year type prove-it deal that could also fall into that taxpayer level. I think a few of those options, like DiVincenzo, that have been floating around too. But to me, I see this as another year where they're not going to try to do too much to change the core of this team. I really don't see it. I see them trying to make small additions that, like you said, just marginally improve the roster.
Can they get Porzingis? Because I kind of got excited about that, thinking he's a good fit, a big who could stretch the floor, shoot, obviously. You know, plus there's, you know, he was a Knick, drafted by the Knicks. Any way Porzingis could get with the Knicks or no?
I mean, theoretically, he could come back to the Knicks. There are ways that it could happen, but I would be shocked if they tried to do a reunion. I know people have been floating it around the way New York is. We hate someone so much when he's wearing our colors if he's not playing well, but as soon as he goes to another team, it's fine if he has one good game every 7 nights because he's no longer in New York. I do not see him going for Porzingis, mostly because of how much they'd have to move to make it happen. But theoretically, once again, including one of the main guys who he wouldn't be willing to give up, you could make a Porzingis trade work, but I don't see that happening.
To me, he just fits. You're exactly right. When they're here, it's like, this guy's not good enough. And then when they're not here, it's like, hey, remember him? We could really use him. He just fits because he's a big who could stretch the floor. I mean, look, I like Mitchell Robinson for what he is, but he's got zero offensive game. And the Knicks as a whole, even Josh Hart, like I like Josh Hart too, he can't shoot. He's not a good enough scorer. So I like the option of Seth Curry if it's realistic because he's a guy who could shoot. But is that what we're looking at? I mean, that's it. Evan Fournier was supposed to be that guy. He wasn't. I don't know if they could just run it back. I'm okay with the core of this team remaining intact. They need to add some shooting.
I agree. And it's going to be up to the Knicks what direction they want to go. And I think the biggest thing to me when I look at this team is Obi Toppin. And this is something I've heard you talk about, I've heard many people talk about, but when you draft Obi Toppin, the kid deserves to play 30 minutes a game at this point. That's just what it is. He's shown now down the stretch of games when he was able to start, he can get you 30 points a game in the league. Not everyone can do that. He deserves to play, and if he's not playing, and if IQ's not playing the amount of minutes that they deserve to be playing, then it's time to trade them for the star. And that's something I've been very firm on, that you can't play at both sides. If you're going to trust the kids and you're going to try to build from in-house and selecting your own draft picks, you have to let them play. And if not, I'm 100% with you, Sal. You can't just add a guy like Seth Curry. You have to put two guys together or three guys together that, you know what, it's going to suck to give up, especially if they end up having great 10-year NBA careers. But if that's what it takes to get a guy who's going to help you win and help you move out of the second round, which we got us so excited for winning one playoff series. And like you said, we need to do something more than just adding a Seth Curry. It's just, to me, whether or not right now is the right time to go all in on the chips, when, who knows, a year or two from now, there could be a better option on the table. The last thing I want is to be a team like the Hawks, who give up 4 first-round picks for DeJounte Murray, and then 2 days later, Kevin Durant requests a trade. That's the last thing I want to happen to the Knicks.
Right, so you're basically saying that you're not opposed to making a trade like that, which, by the way, you know, you'd have to think about it, because that's how teams become good teams, by drafting and developing, where maybe Grimes does become more of an impact player. IQ, same thing, where, you know, you could argue should have been sixth man of the year last year. I know he's terrible in the postseason, but he's an impact player. Obi Toppin has the potential to be an impact player, but if you don't believe in him, or you want to go get that star right now, then you're going to have to move him. That star's not there, is what you're saying, right? There is no, hey, go get this guy.
I agree, yeah. I mean, obviously Zion could fit under that with what's going on in New Orleans. No need to elaborate any further, but he could be looking out. But like I said, I don't think he has the durability to, at this point, consider him a franchise-type target that you would bring in through trade. If this was through a free agency, I'd feel completely different because, like I said, you wouldn't have to be giving up assets to go bring him in. But of all players in the league, I would fear most about bringing a guy like Zion, who has never shown me he can stay on the court, to bring it in as a trade.
All right, Basketball Jones. Hey, look, I'd be more into the draft, but the Knicks don't have a pick. I mean, I get it. It doesn't really, even if they did have a first-round pick, you know, they're still beyond that to where they need more. Obviously, it wouldn't be a top pick this year. You into the NBA draft?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I'm not the biggest college scouter. So outside of the top 15, 20 guys, I probably haven't seen much more than a few highlight tapes and my little film research on each guy. But I'd like to see where they fall, obviously, as it relates to the NBA, because that's my main thing.
Victor Wembanyama, however you say his name, he's going to be a no doubt about it stud, or you have some reservations?
Yeah, I think he'll be incredible. The one thing that I'd say to anyone listening and to anyone who maybe doesn't know this about Victor, but I'd be very surprised if he came into the NBA playing the center position. And I know that might sound crazy to everyone because you think this guy's 9 feet tall, but he's kind of made it clear through interviews, and if you follow his career out Europe, he doesn't really play center. He kind of plays more of that perimeter stretch four role. And I think in today's NBA, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It might not be a bad thing to have him have to be matched up against these guys that are physically at this point much bigger than him. And I think people are going to be surprised when he spends a lot of his time out on the perimeter, catching the ball in motion on pick and rolls, that type of stuff, opposed to being in the paint. So I think he'll succeed right away. And I think the expectations on him are way too crazy, considering that he's just a kid, and it's unfair to say that if he doesn't match Kevin Durant or Hakeem Olajuwon, then his career is a failure. But I do think he'll succeed right away.
You know, I'm already surprised by that because I know nothing about him other than he's tall and everybody's like, oh, he's going to be a stud. You're telling me this guy's an outside shooter? He's that tall and he's not even playing with his back to the rim? Come on now. Down in the post, what are we doing here?
He has the ability to, and let me be clear, he did not shoot the best percentages overseas from the perimeter. But based off the game, based on the style of play, I do see him being used in a more of a hybrid type role instead of being back to the basket.
I know I have to evolve. I just, to me, that's ass backwards. You got a big man, get him close to the basket. Don't put him away from the, yeah, I get it. You need stretch bigs now, guys that could shoot and stretch the floor. Nick certainly could use one. But my goodness, if you're tall, you would think you play down by the rim. Feed the beast in the post like they used to do with the big fella, Patrick Ewing or Olajuwon, the guy that you mentioned. They could shoot a little bit, but it wasn't like they're playing on the perimeter. My goodness.
Yeah,
all right, Basketball Jones. Yeah, good.
I was just going to say two things. I think the first thing, the main thing with Victor is that he's so tall that, like, he doesn't really have to be, like, he can shoot over anyone wherever he is. So I think that's the first thing. And the second thing is, around the rim, he's dominant. Like, I don't know if you saw the viral clip that went around. He missed a three-point shot and windmill dunked his own rebound. Like, he can do things you've never seen before. So I definitely think it will stretch the imagination of what the Spurs will be able to do with him. But thank you so much for having me on, as always.
Yeah, and he'll be entertaining to watch at the very least. Hey, no problem. My pleasure, Basketball Jones. Just make sure next time we play a softball game, stop with the noises running around the bases, all right, to distract me. And stop cheating with the umpires, too, getting them to get the calls going your way.
Let's just make sure we're on the same team next time.
Yeah, hey, you know what? That's a deal. Sign me up for that one. He is Sonny Carton, Basketball Jones, of course, basketball expert. Fun to get some insight from him. And, you know, think about what the Knicks could do here in free agency. Unfortunately, may not be that big, sexy move out there. Zion seems to be the name that keeps coming up. I wouldn't want him. I'm not making a deal for Zion. I'm with Sonny on that one, where I just don't think it's worth the risk. The guy can't play. He's out of shape. He's lazy. Think about it. You're going to trade Julius Randle for Zion Williamson? Julius Randle, who's the complete opposite of Zion, where he works his rear end off, gets himself on the court, is... Look, he had a down year, you know, not this past season, but 2 years ago, sure. But he was an all-star two out of the last 3 years. He's been basically consistent each of those years. So, I mean, there's no way you could justify making that trade for Zion Williamson. As tempting or as sexy as that may be, it's not the right move for the Knicks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.